Hello, and welcome to this episode of The Financial Translator, where we discuss financial topics in layman's terms to move you from confusion to confidence on a given topic. I am your host, Kirk Krekemeyer, the principal advisor at Pebble Valley Wealth Management. We are a fee-only financial advisory firm helping our clients make informed decisions on their road toward financial security. You can find more information at pvwealthmgt.com. On today's show, I'm going to discuss a financial framework for those just starting out in a new job, congratulations by the way, or those who have been maybe working in the job for a few years and know they need a refresher, or maybe they never established this to begin with. I'm going to touch upon 10 foundational topics, and I'm going to address them in a Q&A format, which I'll mention in a second what they are. The advice here that I'll give is going to be general in nature. Everyone's going to have their own considerations, but do your best think about the things that apply to you, and most importantly, take action. Don't worry about making sure you have everything down pat. You can also reference my blog post on this topic, where I'm going to have a few of the tables that I'm going to talk about today, and one or two links that I'm going to mention as well. As a brief legal disclaimer, my discussions here should not be construed as financial or investment advice, and each person's situation is unique. All right, let's go. So looking at the 10 topics I'm going to talk about today, for those looking at potentially in a new job, new things to consider, maybe looking at an apartment, a lot of things going on, and it's also something that you've never had to worry about, looking at your financial life in as much detail before. This is an update on a previous blog post that I had probably a couple of years ago now. It was kind of on that Father's Day theme back at the time as well. It was called No Dad Jokes, Just Dad Financial Advice, or Dad Financial Questions, I guess. So the approach I'm going to take today, I'm going to cover these following 10 topics, or the focus. It's going to be 1, living within your means; 2, understanding your paycheck deductions; 3, why a budget is important and not evil; 4, having a reserve fund; 5, participating in your employer 401k or 403b plan, but also individual IRAs; 6, is going to be Roth versus traditional, always a fun topic; 7, just some investment fundamentals, just very high level; 8 will be employee benefits beyond your 401k or 3b; 9 is going to be the difference between good debt and bad debt; and finally, 10, after I go through all these things, you're going to be like, holy cow, so what's the priority of the many demands that you're going to have on your cash? So those are the 10 topics, and so let's just go at it in a Q&A format, one at a time. So the first one, question one I have is, what does it mean by big hat, no cattle? Those of you who have read The Millionaire Next Door, maybe I'm dating myself because it's an older book, although they have a new version out recently. It's a term that they use to describe people who appear wealthy, just given the way they spend and their lifestyle, but in fact, behind the scenes, have very little savings. And so the main point, and if there's of all the 10 topics that I discuss here today, this is probably the most important, and that is live within your means. It applies now as well as throughout your entire life. Things will be coming, hopefully continue to succeed, have success, I should say, and your income grows and adjust into your income, but don't live beyond your means. It's a very important topic. Nice things will come later. You probably can step it up a little bit coming out of your college years, but don't overdo it. Moving to the second topic, the question I have is, my salary is $60,000 a year. How come my monthly paycheck isn't $5,000 a month? And the answer lies in what your employer withholds. Your employer withholds different taxes. There's 3 types. There's federal, state, if you have a state tax that applies, and also FICA, your Social Security tax. But also in addition to that, they're going to withhold insurance premiums for insurance you've chosen, as well as any 401k or 3b plans that you've directed. So you start out with a gross salary, but then you got to pay taxes. You got to pay some of your bills here, some of your insurance premiums, and then also pay some of your savings. You're paying yourself first, which is a very good thing. So on my website, you'll see I have an example of a person with a $60,000 paycheck. And then I show 2 examples, one where the person would have chosen a Roth 401k contribution. I think I used 6%. Yeah, 6% of the Roth contribution and what that means. And then also a person who would have used a traditional 401k at 6% and the difference, what that means. So I also threw in some rough examples of you know, insurance premiums, deductions, et cetera. But, you know, a person that making $60,000 a year on a traditional 401k basis has a net paycheck maybe of around $41,000. Again, part of that's going to savings for themselves. And then if a person does Roth using the exact same assumptions, you know, their net paycheck is lower, about $600 lower. But again, we'll talk about the Roth versus traditional benefits later. So check it out. There's a reason why you can't work off of gross, but when setting the budget, which I'll talk about next here, it's important to work off of gross salary and understand first where your paycheck deductions go and then what's left as a take home and where that remainder will go. So great segue into question number three. You know, what is a budget and how would it help me? So first of all, again, my answer is make sure you start off with your gross salary. But also, too, you know, a budget is not an evil word. You have to measure to manage, and a budget helps you do just that. It doesn't mean that you can't spend things on fun things. It just helps you prioritize where you want to spend those fun things. But make sure, you do it. You know, back to that question number one, do it within your means. That's the most important thing to do. So the first approach, I guess, you know, there are some new tools or different tools, which I'll talk about later. But first of all, you may find it's easier and important when you're establishing your budget, i.e., so what do I mean by budget? I guess stepping back, identify the key categories of where you'll spend your money on, including savings. You know, that's an important category to include. Taxes, important categories to include, which is why I talked about the paycheck deductions first. But then also, what are the major categories you're going to be spending your money on? You know, rent or a mortgage might come to mind initially. Car payments, you got utilities and bills, you got food, but I encourage you to separate food from the grocery store, eat at home, versus food, restaurants, because that's fun to do, definitely do it, but be aware of what that split is for yourself. And then other categories, travel, you know, travel fund, et cetera, et cetera. So everyone has their own touch points. Find those major categories, but then just lay out, you know, look at those categories and ask yourself, what do you think you will spend either on a monthly basis or annual basis for each of those categories? Jot them down, add them up, and then go back to that question two, that net paycheck example, and see how that ties out with you know, what your total spend is expected to be versus what you actually have coming in from your net paycheck. And then you may have to go back and adjust your expected amounts, you know, given to make sure that net paycheck coming in matches and can cover those things that you want to spend. Once you've established those expected amounts, either by month or annually for those major categories, then the next important thing is to monitor that. It doesn't have to be every week, every month necessarily, but I do it at least once a quarter while it's fresh. But there, that's where you can utilize the convenient tools out there to help track your spending. But again, you want to first establish that budget so you know what you're tracking against. So some common tools, you know, we ourselves have a spending tracking tool on our Pebble Valley portal. Other people may use YNAB, You Need a Budget, it stands for. There's Mint out there or other tools that you may be aware of. But first establish what you expect to spend by category and then use technology to help you easily track how you're doing versus what you thought you'd be doing. And it can be very, very enlightening. Again, make sure you put yourself savings up there and pay yourself first as one of the budget items. I do have a link on my blog post. I'm not sure if it's every year, but every so often the government Bureau of Labor Statistics puts out a consumer expenditures report, and so it's interesting to see they show the major categories and where the average consumer spends. But just be careful. You'll want to drill in. So they also break it out by income levels. And then there's also some reports split out by age. And so, you know, look at the demographic that fits you, whether it's the age or income level, and then just to see what the average person is spending by category, maybe to help you as a cross-check or framework for as you're establishing your budget. And, you know, is that reasonable? Now, what about question four says, what happens if you have unexpected large expenses, you know, that, you know, can't be covered in the budget? First here, I want to say unexpected large expenses. And the answer to that is you need a reserve fund. So again, the budget's going to cover those known recurring items throughout the year. But sometimes, well, not sometimes, you know, it will happen. You just don't know when. Life happens. So, you know, need an unexpected car repair. You know, maybe your friends are calling. Weddings are coming up and you got to travel for some weddings. out-of-pocket medical costs for unexpected things early on. So again, congrats on the new job, but maybe later on, you know, if there's a potential job loss. And so you want to have some money set aside that you can tap quickly without having too many taxes or penalties to get that money to cover these unexpected expenses. So, if something comes up, a person may pull out their credit card. That may be the common thing to do. But you want to make sure that that's only for a rare occasion or for these large unexpected items. Obviously, you want to use your credit card for daily living, and that's great. Just make sure you get in the habit of paying that off each month. So, back to the reserve fund, you want to have funds set aside to handle these unexpected amounts. I talk about on my blog post potentially using a Roth IRA for double duty. I'll touch upon that later, actually. But another topic, I guess, related to here. So again, unexpected expenses, have a reserve fund. Still in topic number four here. What about those known large expenses that you know are coming? So they're not unexpected. You're planning for maybe a down payment on a home or a new car purchase later. Definitely, have those earmarked as well and set money aside in the savings. But then you want to make sure you handle those differently than, say, your retirement savings. So one, put them in a savings account that is not restricted with withdrawals, like a taxable account. And then two, you want to have a different investment framework for those securities, which I'll talk about, for those holdings, rather, that I'll talk about in a second. So jumping to number five now, the topic, what does my employer offer a 401k, 403b, and should you participate? And can you also do IRAs in addition to that? So the answer is yes, yes, and yes. So yes, definitely participate in your 401k, 403b, especially if the employer is providing a match. You want to find out if they are providing a match, how much money you have to put in to get that maximum match, and do whatever you can, start packing lunches or cut down on other things. You want to do as much as you can to pick up that company match, because that is free money. You put in, let's say, 3% of your salary, and the company also puts in their own 3%. So think of it as free money, or think of it as a 100% return risk-free on your investment. But it's a very important thing to find out if they do it. And if so, do whatever you can to make the contributions to get that. Just quickly for those looking, I'll talk about investments in a second, but when you are starting your 401k plan, you have to choose these investments. The easy button is going to be a target date fund. Just choose the year in that title where that it would include the year you turn age 65 to 70. Just grab that fund as an easy button. I'll expand on doing more later. Even if you are doing a 401k or 403b, 403b applies to nonprofits like schools, hospitals, and things like that. Otherwise, a private corporation is going to be a 401k. But if you are participating in those, you can also still participate in an individual IRA. The most you can do to an individual IRA is $6,500 a year, extra $1,000 if you're over age 50 or over. But you can do both if you want. And so you'll see later in the savings priority, definitely max out the 401k to get that company match. But then if you qualify, I like to direct focus to, starting to fund a Roth IRA one, get the tax advantage savings while you're in a lower tax bracket potentially. And two, earlier I'd mentioned this Roth 401k double duty. So one thing unique about a Roth IRA is the contributions you put in, you can take out without tax or penalty. I'm not encouraging that. Don't plan on that. But, let's think back now to that reserve fund. So a reserve fund is needed for unexpected items. And so it's like, well, boy, if you don't need it, it would have been nice to make use of that Roth IRA. So for part of your reserve fund, think about using the Roth. You put a contribution in because it's limited each year. That money can start to grow tax-free. And then later, as you establish a reserve fund elsewhere, you can then invest this more aggressively. So getting a bit deep in the weeds here, but it's a unique application of using a Roth for that double duty. But back to the general concept, if you are doing a 401k, you can still do individual IRA accounts and do the maximum amounts that are allowed. Question number six, should you use a traditional or a Roth? Again, that applies if your company offers it at a 401k or 3B level. Most of them now do. I still come across occasionally where a person does not have a Roth 401k or 3B option, but definitely with individual IRAs, you definitely do. So which one should you use? The answer, it depends upon your current tax bracket versus what you expect it to be in the future. This is a lot of considerations in this topic, so I'll make some broad generalizations. And then again, requires more work. But in general, the concept is a traditional, whatever, you know, 401k or IRA, you get a deduction when you put the money in, the money grows tax-free, but you have to pay taxes when you take it out. So you get a benefit based upon your tax rate when it goes in, and you have to pay the bill based upon your tax rate when you take it out. With a Roth, 401k or IRA, you don't get a deduction going in, so you gotta pay your freight, if you will, based upon your current tax rate, and then all of that growth is you can take it out, including your contributions, tax free. And so, in general, if you're in a lower tax bracket now, strongly recommend using the Roth. If you're in a high tax bracket now, strongly recommend using the traditional. And again, there's gray areas in between. So you'll see on my blog post, there's a table of tax brackets. If you're in the 12% or lower bracket, very, very likely, very strong lean, use the Roth. If you're in the 32% or higher federal tax bracket, very, very strongly lean and likely use the traditional. If you're in the 22 or 24, that's where it's going to depend. And you may find that even at younger ages, you know, you may want to keep going on the Roth, even in the 22% and maybe even 24. You know, depends upon your future earnings power. Tax rates are projected to be going up in 2026 if Congress doesn't take action. So there it's a little more of a, it depends on a gray area and do some calculations, but that's the general rule of what to do. But as a younger, if you are a younger person just starting out, more than likely that Roth contribution is going to make a lot of sense for you. Jumping to question number 7 here. How should I invest that money? So talked about, you know, again, paycheck, a budget, let's start contributing some money. Well, okay, Kirk, I've got this money in these accounts. You know, what the hell should I do? So there's a couple of points. One, investing doesn't mean you have to be 100% in equity. So, you know, you may think the U.S. equity market is volatile, things are falling a lot. You don't have to be 100% equity, you know, to be invested. So that's the first main point I'm going to make. And it's also, there's different investment strategies depending upon if it's for your retirement money, which you may not need for a very long time, near-term savings goals, you know, 2-3 years out for that house or the car, or that reserve fund, which you may need tomorrow. So there's a couple terms, or three terms I talk about here that capture these concepts. So the first question is, you know, well, let's go to the third one I have on my list here, but the time horizon, how soon you need the money. So if you don't need the money for a long time, and your risk tolerance is high, you can put a big portion of your portfolio in risky assets. So be aware of the time horizon, you know, long-term time horizon with retirement. You can go pretty aggressive, assuming you have an aggressive risk tolerance. But even if you are an aggressive investor, for those near-term savings goals, you know, 2 or 3 years, and even definitely a reserve fund for sure, you got to back off on what the amount you put in risky assets, because you may need those funds tomorrow, and you don't want to be in a down market at that time, or, you know, that 2 to 3 years out, you can take on a little bit more risk, but just be aware of the time horizon and how aggressive you go. The other question is, you know, how much can you handle? How much risk can you handle? So ideally, there'd be a risk questionnaire that you'd complete, whether it's from your 401k or 3B, or working with advisors like ourselves, we have a risk tolerance questionnaire to find out how you react when the market pulls back. You know, if the market pulls back 20%, how would you feel? And then, you know, that will help dictate or guide, I should say, how much you put in, you know, the riskier assets versus the not so risky assets. And then finally, the last concept that I mentioned here is asset allocation. So once you have that risk tolerance, you know, people will have anywhere from 5 different models, maybe 10. You know, we have 9 ourselves here to talk about, depending upon how risky your risk tolerance is, and then again, how soon you need that money, the time horizon, then you'll allocate that portfolio, you know, equity, bonds, alternatives, and cash. I go deeper within each of those categories, you know, just be aware of them. But for this discussion here, you know, what portion you have in those categories will help you determine, you know, how risky that overall portfolio is, so that when you need the money, it's giving you a nice return, but you know there's going to be a bumpy ride along the way, depending upon how risky you go. So that's asset allocation. Question number eight. So my employer offers these 401k benefits, but I also have other benefits. You know, should I consider them? So again, absolutely. The most common one is going to be medical insurance. That's going to be top of mind. So you may have been on your parents' policy up to now, but if you have a job and the company is offering a medical plan, oftentimes the employer subsidizes those premiums quite a bit. So likely going to be cheaper, potentially, out of your pocket versus the family plan. Definitely cheaper for your parents. So let them know if you got a plan. But so look at your medical plan. But the thing I talk about here and I strongly recommend looking at is see if they have a plan that also offers a health savings account option. You have to have a qualified high deductible plan to have that. But there's some nice tax advantages of putting that money in there. And it also satisfies that reserve fund need for unexpected out-of-pocket medical costs. An HSA, you can tap whenever you want, without penalty, without taxes, if it's for a qualified medical expense. So looking at your benefits, again, medical, see if they got a health savings account option and strongly consider that. It also, just from a behavioral perspective, you know, the if you're paying the first, you know, $500, $1,000, $1,500 out of pocket, you're going to be more motivated to make sure that you actually need those doctor services before utilizing them. So it's also a nice behavioral feature, in my opinion, to assess the health costs and keep them in check. Then you also, the next person or the next topic might be for people looking at, hey, they got life insurance, maybe I should get some of that. Well, really think about that. I mean, you know, the question you have to ask yourself is, if you were to unexpectedly pass away tomorrow, is there anybody financially dependent on your salary if you pass? And if the answer is no, then in my opinion, you don't need life insurance. Even if you're married, you know, your spouse, you know, may have a job and they can fend for themselves. And so, again, obviously, if you have children, that's a different story. But if you're just starting out, again, even if you're married with no children, you may not need life insurance at this time. If there is a need, obviously, the employer plan is one way you can purchase it there. But you likely can find better coverage in private markets unless you're in poor health. So if you have the need, maybe also check outside for coverage. However, one thing that is often overlooked, many plans, many companies offer this, and that is disability insurance. And I strongly recommend that you get this. So, you know, I asked about the life insurance. If someone passes, you know, is somebody going to be dependent upon you? Well, for here, the question to ask yourself is there anyone that's dependent upon your salary if you are not able to work? And the answer is yes, that's you. So you need, in my opinion, you need disability insurance to cover the bills, you know, if you're suddenly disabled and not able to work. So actually the chance of being disabled during your working years, you know, is greater than passing away with life insurance. And so, again, strongly recommend that coverage. Question number nine, can I just borrow money to cover my expenses? And, you know, what's this thing about good debt and bad debt? So the so you definitely, one, do not borrow for ongoing living expenses. So yes, you may use a credit card to cover expenses, but just make sure you can pay that off each month. However, there may be some large item, ticket items that you may need debt to help you make those purchases. And that's fine. Just make sure that it's the good kind of debt. Think of that as helping you purchase items or finance items that are going to either hold their value or appreciate in value. So two common examples would be a mortgage for a home purchase, or even student loans. You know, you're investing in your career, increasing the career earnings, and so that is what's considered good debt. Obviously, make sure you know what those payments will be. Make sure you go back to your budget and stick them in. That's got to be covered in your monthly budget needs. But those are the two examples of good debt. Car loans can also be good debt. Again, you got to have a vehicle, and you may not be able to, you know, put the whole down payment down. So that's depreciating, but it still can be good debt. Again, just make sure it fits in your budget and don't extend the loan maturity out too long, you know, to force it to fit. Make sure it's, in my opinion, 5 years and in for a car loan. Bad debt would be borrowing money on things that you're going to either just consume and it's gone, or you buy things that depreciate quickly in value that kind of blows apart your budget if you would just buy them outright. So again, credit card examples would be credit card on things that you are not able to pay off each month, but you want to, you know, spend and it's gone. or I'll call them toy loans. If there's certain things that may not be needed for living purposes or transportation, but you want to buy something and you put it on a loan, that could be bad debt if that's something that you wouldn't have normally been able to handle in your budget. And finally, number 10 here, these are a lot of things that we talked about here. That's a lot to do. So maybe you're thinking you can't do all of these savings priorities, and pay off student loans and still have fun while you're young. So, what are the priorities? That's true. I mean, there's definitely gonna be limited resources, not only money, but, also time and other things as you know already, or as you find out as you go along in life here. But it's important to recognize, what these frameworks are and, prioritize as best you can. And just be aware of what the next steps are. So, again, the main point is, can you do all these things at once? No, you won't be able to. But know what the steps are, start where you can, and then just know that when you have more capacity that frees up, know what the next steps are and where you should be directing that money. So in general, here's my savings and debt pay down framework. But again, each person's going to be different. But one, look for that free money, that 401k. If the company offers an employer match, find out what that is and start there and put as much as you can into there to get that free money. Be aware that you're going to have restricted access to that money. But because you get 100% return of free money, I definitely would go there first. Next, make sure you're paying down any high rate credit cards, that you're paying, well over 10% these days. So get those paid off each month and adjust your budget and living standard accordingly. Then make sure you have a reserve fund set aside, at least a half a month, half of 1 month or up to 1 month of your expenses you want to have set aside. Again, earlier I talked about maybe utilizing your Roth IRA for double duty. And then you can back off a little bit on what you have in the bank, but you want to have money set aside to cover things if something comes up unexpectedly. HSA, if you have them, again, definitely the best tax treatment around of any vehicle. So if you are utilizing have the medical plan that qualifies for an HSA, definitely fill up your HSA and max that out. And again, within any unexpected medical costs you have in your reserve fund component, you can back off if you have an HSA. Again, take a look at your good debt. If you have a reasonable rate on that debt, I'm going to call it anywhere from 3 to 6% these days. That's pretty reasonable, and just stick with your amortized payoff. No need to pay that off early so you can focus on extra savings. Don't not pay it off and use it for extra spending. That's not a good plan. But again, as long as you're doing what you want and having fun in your budget, it's okay to have that good debt there, pay it off, and then focus on savings elsewhere. If after doing all those steps you still have excess savings capacity, again, make sure you first max out your Roth IRA, HSA if you have them, and you've established a solid reserve fund, and also making sure that your 401k is on solid footing. Again, there's no hard and fast rule, but you want to target maybe say at least 10% contribution. If you have all that going on and you still have more savings capacity, then consider looking at for near-term goals, making sure it's in the taxable account so you can get it at it quickly without any penalties. And then finally, after that, you're covering that, you can always go back and add more to your 401k. Again, the maximum is $22,500 in 2023. If you're above age 50 or older, you can do an extra $7,500. And then again, if you have that and even more capacity, you can also start directing some of that money into just taxable savings. Separate topic, but just as a quick aside, for reserve funds, I do like using I-bonds for a reserve fund. The tricky part is you can't touch it for 12 months. And so later on, after you've established a reserve fund, I have extra savings capacity, kicking off an I-bond to start that clock ticking for a reserve replacement is another thing I like doing as a priority. So there we have it. So again, went over a lot of topics here. In summary, as you're setting into your new job, or again, if you've been working for a while and realize you should be looking at some of these frameworks again, just look at the framework, think about things, and try not to get overwhelmed. Take it a step at a time, make your best guess, and just key is start taking action. Don't get paralyzed by too much. You can always refine it later, and you should be monitoring anyway. So that's good. If you need help, reach out. There are advisors that work on beyond just a large investment minimum. So Personally, here at Pebble Valley, we do offer base planning services with no minimums. You know, we have a fixed annual fee component to the pricing so that we can help out people and help them understand these important choices and get them going down that path. Don't lose sight of your goals, your dreams. You know, keep things in context and make sure you stay curious. All right, that's a wrap on today's topic. Thanks a lot. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Financial Translator. I hope this discussion helped clear up any confusion and will lead to more confident financial decisions. Thanks for your time, and be sure to check out all of our resources at pvwealthmgt.com. Until next time, go confidently.